For another time, we look to you, O Lord, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher and give us revelation. Let every bondage be broken, O Lord, and let your people be delivered that we may serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we have been two Tuesdays, we have been studying about the unseen barriers in the lives of human beings. Even though we get saved, we may come out with some grave clothing, like Lazarus. And Jesus had to tell the disciples, that the church, unbind him, loose him. And they had to get all those grave clothing so that he can go free. And the next time we read, Lazarus is seated with Jesus on a meal. So curses, words operate through words and of course through objects. And we have been studying with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I believe I will conclude today as we go on with the message. All right. Last time when I did, we came almost to the end of the evidences of curses. And I want to do the last part after the accident prone, you know. It means the person getting into accidents on and off, falling down, breaking your leg, or maybe getting again with a collision with your car, or maybe another one, you know, getting your fingers damaged, or, you know, on and off. There are people like that. So we need to consider these things with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Whatever that is revealed in the Scriptures are for us and for our children. So I want to go on with the seventh one. The evidence is history of suicides. In certain families, you can trace suicides. One generation after the other. Maybe it hops, leaves one generation, it hops to the other one. People die taking something, or they jump in front of the railway track, or I don't know, may take too much of sleeping tablets, whatsoever. And you should know this spirit of suicide. Actually, it's a spirit, and of course the spirit of death assists the spirit of suicide. It has tremendously increased in this present generation. I do not have the present statistics, but in the Western countries, it has really, really increased. So many percentage of people, and especially young people, they commit suicide. And as Christians, you and I should know that it's not only a mental condition, it is most of the time, it is a spirit that is making them to finish up their life. In the Old Testament, you can see King Saul, actually, even though he got wounded, but then he fell over his sword, you know, and killed himself. And of course, known person is Judas, and he hanged himself. And there are so many you would have known in your life, among your friends, relations, or you even may have read that so-and-so committed suicide, and afterwards if you trace it, or the uncle or the grandmother committed suicide, and you know, you can trace the history past. So that is untimely death. Untimely. Dying before the time. Dying before the time. I want to proceed the cure side of the curses. So it is unnatural death and untimely death. It is possible, and of course it's happening anyway, to die before the time. Last time I just mentioned about some children are put to death. Now the abortion is a real vicious spirit of murder that's killing babies. It's the same spirit that started to kill babies in the Old Testament times, whether it was during Pharaoh's time or the Moses' time, or during the time of Jesus, because a mother could be carrying a prophet like Jeremiah. A mother could be carrying a Paul, a David, or an Esther. And the devil is, you know, is especially these days. So that's why he wants to finish off all the babies. And he's doing it through a name called abortion, which is actually, it's murder. Killing the innocent. Right. And of course, some children are born with the umbilical cord tied around their neck, and they're choked to death. That is very unnatural. And almost, I would say, almost all the time, that is, you can trace a curse over there. So these things, as the children of God, as the servants of God, we should know, and we should be guided by the Holy Spirit to minister to the mother even before delivery, praying for them, praying for the child, speaking to the child in the name of Jesus. And I have most of the time experienced the mothers telling me, the moment I start talking to the child in the name of Jesus, starting words like, "Child, I'm talking to you. I may not know your name, but Jesus loves you. Do you know that? You have no fear, absolutely." And immediately the child was kicking inside, you know, I mean, the mother was telling me. Because there is a spirit inside the child. The spirit of the child. That can pick up what I am saying in the name of Jesus. Because it's God who brings the life into the mother's womb. He's the creator of life. So know these things and be humble and always study these notes, study the cassettes, so God can use you in the proper time. You are needed by somebody somewhere. You are a solution to somebody. That's why God brought you in a time like this. David was a solution to the people of Israel, delivering them from Philistines. That was his assignment. Esther, she had a purpose. She was a problem solver. You have been created and brought forth not to sit in church, but to solve a problem, maybe to a family, maybe to a people. You are assigned to a people. So hear these things, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Now, coming to the side of cure, the basis, one basis to come out of curses, the basis, I'm going to tell the pathway of deliverance. The basis is the atonement, that is the crucifixion, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has nothing to give to anybody apart from the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the cross God gives anything to anybody. You take the cross away, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Brothers and sisters, here is where even the children of God can deviate, even though they are in the church. Look at the Galatians. They were spirit-filled, but they got sidetracked through a spirit of witchcraft, depending on their self, having their service, having their Sunday worship, and everything. But the Holy Spirit was not there. Self was in rulership. And Paul had to rebuke them. He said, "I marvel. I'm amazed. What's happening here? Who has bewitched you?" So, listen to these things. And I would say to many people, this has not been revealed yet. Many servants of God, pastors, don't believe this. Even though it is written in the Word of God, they don't believe this. Oh, well, I won't have any curse. I'm a child of God. Doesn't say like that. Nothing is automatic. I want to show you. So the only basis for deliverance is the atonement, the cross. One source for good is God the Father. One channel to receive the good is Jesus Christ. And of course, when I said the basic foundation which we can receive the blessing is through the cross. Now, the only way that we can receive it is by our faith. Faith. See? Now, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Now, if you listen prayerfully, most of the time I tell people, you will get the revelation right there. God feeds a hungry soul. 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. I told you, only one channel, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise or the blessing of the Spirit, the blessings of the Holy Spirit through faith, that verse says. So we're going to receive the blessing of God the Father through Jesus Christ, His cross, and of course, by faith. No faith, nothing. So that was the word says in chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. All right. So you pass from curse to the blessing. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and you hang him on a tree. I mean, the worst punishment was at that time getting the man stoned, right? And he's stoned to death. But certain cases, worse things that man has done, after dying, that man is hanged on a tree, brother. Yeah, they hang him, and the body hangs in a visible place on a tree so that all the people will see. Oh my goodness. There was a time in our hometown, certain people were categorized as traitors by a militant group, and they were shot and during the night, and they are hanged, and not really hanged, they are tied to a lamppost like that, and something is written behind them. And everybody passing that way could see, and they just beat their chest, you know, my goodness. Oh yes, many we have seen. Many. Now the Bible says here, his body shall not remain, verse 23, all night upon the tree, but thou shalt anywise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God. Can you see that? The margin says accursed means the curse of God is upon him. He who is hanged on a tree. Now, whether it is a live tree or a dead tree is a tree. Jesus was hanged, nailed to a cross, a tree. That shows that he became a curse for every human being. He became a curse that we may receive the blessing of God. I'm looking at, there are so many things that Jesus was a substitute, but we are only dealing with curse now. Jesus was made sin that we may become the righteousness of God. He was rejected that we may be accepted. He was wounded and bruised that we may be healed. So he was a substitute. Now we are dealing with curses, so that's why I'm going to the scripture. In fact, Paul the apostle is quoting this scripture in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. He who is hanged on a tree has become a curse. So Jesus became a curse for those who are under the law. All right. According to the law of Moses, Jesus, in order to redeem those who are under the law, he became a curse. Jesus was rejected by heaven. He was rejected by the earth, all the people. He was hanging in between. No one wanted him, not even heaven, because he was made sin for you and me. Jesus was not made a curse for everything. He was made a curse for those who are under the law. Okay, watch that. Galatians 3:13. I want to show you that this should be very clear so that we can appropriate when we pray the prayer for deliverance, for curses for ourselves or for the others. 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, whatever that was written, curses in the book, the Bible, to redeem us from those words, curse of the law, being made a curse for us. You must know. Now, Jesus took away legally all the curse that was, or the evil that was due for us. You know why? Satan is a legal expert. Anything of his things, we have it, we are in trouble. He will have a legally connection, a legal connection, access to us. He is a legal expert. You go to a palm reader, or you just click on to the psychic line in the TV, you have opened a door. Legally, he can attack you. He is a legal expert. That's why Jesus, legally, he has to present himself for all of us, made sin, became a curse, so that he can get us out by faith. How many of you understood that? You know, you remember the Israelites, they had that accursed thing at home. They picked up something from Jericho, you know, and then they had it, Achan, and when they went to take up Ai, and they got defeated. Because Satan had a legal access to attack them. And God said, Joshua, I'm not going to be with you. Because you have given legal grounds for the enemy, unless you take that thing off. The same thing true for the church. These things people don't realize. They think, oh well, we can do away with God. Cry a few cries, shed a few tears. God is not moved by that. God is not moved by needs. If that is so, everybody will get healed today. God is moved by faith. If God is moved by needs and whatever, he will heal firstly all the babies around the world. He is moved by faith. God too is a legal expert. That's why he had to do everything, cover up. There is no accusation against him. He had to be just and the justifier. So, unless the legal claims are dealt with, God cannot get us free just like that. No. Forgiveness required some innocent person shedding blood. That's why Jesus had to come. Until we deal with the legal claims, we will never get the devil off our back. You keep some things in your house, and you come and then pray. Let even the best of known servants of God, I tell you, until you remove that thing from your home, until you leave that good for nothing friendship, until you take that whatever thing that you are holding on to, the devil is not, will never let you go. You may be a Christian, you may be a spirit-filled Christian, that does not matter. Again, I say he's a legal expert. It has nothing to do with the power of God. God will not trouble. As I said the other day, God is a gentleman. You want to be friendly with the devil, he will not separate friends. You want to be friendly? Go on. He will never divide friends. But if you get mad with the devil, then he will bend down and ask, do you need any help? I'll help you. It's very life and death matter here, brothers. Don't take it very lightly. It is not just listening to a sermon. It is not just Bible study. It is your life. There's a battle that is going on. As you are listening, as I am teaching you, there's a battle, there's a scheming that is going on. What shall we do to this fellow? What shall we do? Huh? How shall we distract him? He's teaching all the time about us. Oh, Holy Spirit, please help us. Now, Isaiah 53:6 covers all the consequences of rebellion. You know that Isaiah 53:6, very famous chapter, the heart of the Bible. My personal declaration, 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him iniquity of us all. Every person who has chosen his own way. Now you can be a Christian and still go on your own way. You can be a spirit-filled Christian and then pray and afterwards go on your own way. I have prayed, but I'm doing my own thing. Did you pray? Yes, I prayed. But what are you doing? Well, I think God is sanctioning me, I think. Did not wait for him, like Saul. So is actually, the word there for 53:6 is rebellion. We have rebelled against the Lord. Every one of us. That's why Jesus had to come and say, I am the way. We have gone on our own ways. Jesus said, I am the way. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 and 2 is very clear to receive the blessing. The requirement God has given is very clear over there. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently. You know, hearken diligently in Hebrew, what it says, you know what, how it says? If you listen in listening. If you listen in listening, that means wholeheartedly, with your two ears, with all your heart, listen. That's what God says. Listen in listening. The voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments. If you want to underline, you can underline these two things: the voice, the commandments. The voice and the commandments. Most of the time Christians are tied up with the commandments, the word of God. But what about the voice, brother? The voice of God is the Holy Spirit. The word of God, Jesus Christ, is the word of God. He is the word. That's why the Bible says, don't ask somebody to go and then bring down Jesus Christ from heaven, and then don't ask who shall bring Christ from hell underneath the earth. This word is in your heart, in your mouth. That's why most of the time the devil plays the same trick like Pharaoh, giving enough burdens, enough problems, enough distractions from morning till night, and then blame everything on the government or the lifestyle over here or in any country, and keep us pressurized, keep us away from the word of God without proper meditation and really drinking the marrow, eating the marrow of the word, abiding with the word, confessing the word, taking some scriptures, playing a cassette which somebody is speaking the scriptures. You get many cassettes like that. Play, and then getting yourself all the time with the word so that the life can flow in us. The devil keeps us away. So what happened? Jesus said, if one person does not abide in me, that's the word, he is withered. And we are withered, brother, most of the days. I don't know. Nothing is going right. I don't feel like coming to the Bible study. I don't feel. Who will help me? I am troubled in my mind. I don't feel like praying. I'm not blaming God. I felt like that many times. Not only I felt like that, I felt mad. Mad enough to go and kill someone. You stay without the word, brother, you had it. Because you are of the word if you're born again. I said, you are of the word. The word. So hearing and obeying. Hearing has to do with the Holy Spirit. Obeying has to do with the word of God. Are you receiving this? I hope you are. Yes, amen. Exodus 15:26. Oh, this is, you're going to like this now. Exodus 15:26. God said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Pastor, I never hear his voice. Actually, believers should be taught how to hear the voice of God. Isn't it? How to detect the voice of God from the voice of the devil and the voice of a human being. Oh yes. The voice of the Lord thy God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases upon thee. So you see, the basis for blessings, the basis for abundant life, prosperity, is obeying his voice and hearing his voice and obeying his word. Hearing his voice and obeying his word. You see, you know, in Deuteronomy 28, you must have read it. You don't have to turn over there. God says, if you will obey these things, hear my voice, the blessings that I'm going to pronounce now, it is going to overtake you. Now, those of you who drive, you know, somebody overtakes you. And you see, wow. And you see the person in front. What is God saying there? He is saying, my blessings, even before you ask, it is going to overtake you, and you're going to see your blessings in front, and you are going to just, it is going to be there when you move and stop anywhere. You're going to literally see your blessings. Amen? Hear this. But we do the opposite. We chase after the blessing. God says, no, 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 no. Hear my voice and obey. The blessing will overtake. But we say, no, Lord, we want the blessings. Where is it? Wow. So we run to that seminar, to the other conference, to this conference. The blessing. Oh, I want the blessing. They're running the blessing. Bless. God says, no, my children, hear my voice. Obey my word. And you're going to see the blessings overtake you. We are putting the cart before the horse. Don't chase the blessings. Hear his voice and obey. The blessings will chase you. That's what the word of God says. And I believe it's going inside. That's why you are silent. Amen. Amen. So turn the car towards obedience and hearing the voice. Amen. Don't chase the blessings. You won't catch it. You won't catch it. All right.
The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has totally satisfied every legal requirement of heaven. Now, brothers and sisters, even though God has settled everything, given us all the blessings, removed every evil, piling them upon Jesus Christ, making him a curse, making him a sin, everything was legally done and finished. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished." Nobody has to do it again. It is over once and for all, eternally settled. Sin problem is settled. Finished. The church has to proclaim the good news now. Come, the door is open. Come before it's dark. It is over. We are to go and give the proclamation, the preaching. Return to God. God is not angry with you. Anybody going to hell today, they will go only because of rejecting Jesus Christ. Not because of their sins, because sin problem has been dealt away. Simple as that. Easy. It has to be a reality for us. That means we must receive that experientially. There is legal side, there is a experiential side. Supposing one of you, your grandmother or grandfather, before he died, you did not know that he had written all the wealth and everything, the house, in your name. And you found out that it is yours. But you cannot simply go and take it over. There are some others coming and fighting. Now it has to be legally yours. There are certain procedures you got to do. You got to produce who you are, how you are related to this person, produce all your identity. Am I speaking to somebody here? Produce all your identity. Can you go and tell somebody, "I am so and so, I am his son"? And they will say, "Well, what have you got? What do you mean, what I have got? Show your identity." This person, even though legally that house or wealth or whatever was his, but he had to now make it reality. Experientially, it is not yet ready for him. So there are certain procedures. Then everything he presents, everything, and then the court releases, okay, he's the person. That house, all that wealth, all that money in the bank is in his name. Give it to him. Are you there? Now this is what happens. People think, "Oh well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to worry, greater one is inside me, so..." No. Example. God gave Canaan into the hands of Israel. "I have given you the land," God said to Joshua. "Everywhere you put your foot, I have given it to you." Past tense. Are you there? Right. It's in the book of Joshua chapter 1. I have no time because I got to be put everything just in this cast. So he said, "I have given you the land." Did they experience it immediately? No, it wasn't. Experientially, they could have stayed this side of Jordan and sang songs. "Oh well, I can see Canaan, hallelujah, it is ours, God has said." And Canaan people over that side, if they had binoculars, they would have looked at them and said, "These idiots are singing from there. I don't know why they're singing." What? Legally it was theirs, but experientially they got to go and do what? Fight. Are you there? You got to go and fight, Joshua. They went and took over Jericho, and after that, every city they had to fight, brother. That's why Jesus said, "The violent shall take it by force." You just sit under the apple tree and they said, "Oh Lord, drop the apples, every blessing and promise, let it come on my lap," is not going to happen.
It is not going to happen, brother. Oh Lord, bless my family. No, no, you should not punch the devil sometimes. You're going to fight for it. So there is a legal side. There is a reality, experiential side. How many of you understood so far? So even though the blessings have been given legally, Jesus was a substitute, but we need to receive that experientially. He was made a curse, all right. But are we living in the reality, the experience of blessings? My goodness. When we turn around and look at ourselves, and we know whether we are living in blessings, enjoying the blessings, or enduring curses. And even not knowing what's happening. You see, some families, they have family breakdown and family troubles and all that. You can trace it one after the other in the families. Division, 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 division. And goes on. And nobody takes any notice. Until the curse is pulled out, until the root is pulled out, you are not going to stop there. Jesus said, whatever the tree my Father has not planted shall be uprooted. You pray for somebody with a curse that is on their life, and you do not know, you will be praying until your last tooth falls out. You pray, nothing is going to happen. All right. So the experiential side is over there. So we must go through certain steps or rules that we need to supply. Now, in moving from legal to the experiential side is actually the finding the cause, the root problem of that curse, whatever that they are facing. So I'm going to now give some things which is outside of the thing which Jesus became a curse. Now, you remember that Jesus was hanged on a tree to redeem those who were under the law. He became a curse so that he can redeem those people, whatever that is written of the law. Cursed be the man, cursed be the woman, cursed be the, all those curses, to redeem all those people. But there are certain things that we can put ourselves under, or we can come into situations that will bring us under a curse. Now watch this. Relational authority. That means a child can be a Christian, a father can be a Christian, but if a father speaks cursing language to a child, you're not going to be, you know, you will never do well. You are really a dumb. You amount to nothing. You are just like your so-and-so, who is a dumb. You're stupid all the time. You see, these words can bring in open doors for evil spirits to attack the child, which the child, if this, the child is, you know, I mean, no strength to fight back, you'll be, the child will be under the attack. Are you following me? Persons with relational authority, a father speaking evil words towards the children or the mother. Let's say this. A practicing professional witch or a wizard. Now, why did she become one? The other day I was seated in the Sunday school. I was telling you, I asked one child. I didn't see the child afterwards. And she said, what would you like to be? I asked. And she said, I would like to be a witch. I think she was about 10 year old, something like that. So I would like to be a witch. I was so amazed and puzzled. And I asked, why? Because I want to be. And I heard her, and afterwards I learned from her that she had dressed herself as, played the part of a witch for Halloween. For the last Halloween. And I believe when she decided to, and the parents or whoever who brought her up, to let her go that way, she had opened the door for the spirit of witchcraft to come inside her life. Now, if that spirit is not cast out of the child can be born again. But then, that child can be a real, real problem in any church. That spirit will wait there until it causes a division, a problem, a chaos. It can even attack the pastor and make the pastor to commit adultery with her. That's how churches are destroyed. Pastors' families are destroyed. These things are not just fake. Now take, for instance, a professional witch. Now why did she become a witch? One person was asked, and she, as far as she could remember it, you know, this was after deliverance over here in America. She had said, my father dedicated myself to Satan while I was in my mother's womb. And this happens very often. Now, in Asia, if you come to minister over there, if you do not know any of these things, then I would tell you witchcraft is very severe in the Western countries than in the Eastern countries now. Take, for instance, Hungary, Germany, France, United Kingdom, United States, top Canada. And I believe it's, again, topping the list in Jamaica. And if you do not know how to tackle these things, pull out these roots, you cannot be a good minister. You will only apply the medicine for the outside wound when the pellet is inside. You will cover up and try to heal. Oh, well, it's okay. And may God will help you. It's nothing like that. So this lady said like that. And so afterwards, that spirit that went into her while in the mother's womb and led her to become a professional witch. And you ask, can anybody, any child, any infant inside receive a spirit like that? Can they be born demon-possessed? Certainly. Psalm 58. 58. Verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. They are caught up while inside the mother's womb. I have told you that if the mother plays with occult when the child is still there, when the fetus is there, it may be second month, it may be the third month, but the life has already formed. Or she goes and gives her hand to be read. Or even accompanies somebody. The child, almost all the time that mother was carrying, will be attacked by the spirit of witchcraft. There is no protection for that child. It's almost 100%. So you see this verse, the Holy Spirit says, many babies come into bondage because of ignorance of the parents while in the mother's womb. And many in Sri Lanka dedicate their child when they're conceived to some demon. Oh, I tell you, it is so tough sometimes to pray for those kids. But the beauty is the Lord delivers them. Yeah, because they do not know. All right. Then the other one is self-imposed curses. Jesus didn't die for that. Self-imposed curses. You say all the time, I better if I die and, you know, I'm about 65. I just, this is, nothing works out for me. I think it's better for me to be with the Lord and, you know. One girl started to confess and I want to be with the Lord very soon. Is that right? That girl who died in the childbirth. Bleeding. Before Before the Lord comes, I want to be with him. Before the Lord comes, I want to be with him. He's a child of God. And when the time came for the delivery, she bled to death. Self-imposed curses. Self-imposed curses. We studied about that in the previous lessons. Another one was Israelites, when they said, if it's better if we have died in Egypt, if it's better if we have died in Egypt, why should we come here? Better we have, you know, are there no cemeteries over there? And then, you know, those words opened the door for the spirit of death to come and kill them. Many died. Brothers and sisters, words carry spirits. And self-imposed curses, if you say it, one lady, thank you, Lord. After deliverance, she went home. The following Sunday, she came back. And when I prayed, she was again thrown off. And I was wondering, what is this? Last time she was thrown off, and what now what? And I asked her, and then she started to weep. And she said, you know, my son-in-law came and yelled at me, and so much, and I couldn't bear. And I opened my mouth and I said, it's better if I die. And that word brought the spirit of death into that lady. And without my knowledge, I called out the spirit of death and suicide for that lady that Sunday. And she was thrown flat on the floor. And she was free. One word. How many invitations does Satan needs to come? He will get crashed, brother, without invitation. But if you give him one, he's in your sitting room. Are you all there? These things are true. Words. The Holy Spirit watches every word that comes out of our mouth. Psalm 139, David said, even before one word comes out of my mouth, O Lord, you know it. He keeps a watch of every word that comes out of our mouth the moment we get up from bed until we go to bed. Amazing. And he keeps a record. That's why Jesus said every idle word. That lady paid that price that Sunday. Yes. Well. Self-imposed curses. You can even sometimes say, I hate my ears. I hate my legs. No. I hate my nose. I hate that. I don't like my cheek. It's big, you know. I hate it. You know what we are doing? We are bringing a curse on our own body. Derek Prince's wife said once that she hated her legs because it was not so beautiful like the other girls. And she got arthritis. And when the servant of God broke that curse without his knowledge. He remembered her telling one day, but it never struck him, you know. But the Holy Spirit made him to say, I break those words. Instantly she was healed. You are bound by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2. Words. Now, we cannot just shrug our shoulder or head and then say, well, I've got the Holy Spirit inside. I told you, don't be like that, because that's a deception of the devil. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Weapon shall be formed. He never said that it will not be formed. He said only it will not prosper. Watch this. And every tongue that shall rise against you, anybody curses you, anybody pass an evil remark on you, anyone put a curse on you, every tongue that rise up against you, you shall condemn it. This promise is legal, but it says you have to do it. you will condemn it. That means you will cancel and attack that. This promise was not given for Israelites at that time, otherwise they would have used it. That's why God has to stop Balaam, and then even though when he went, he had to turn every word into a blessing. The moment he spoke, it came out as a blessing. So you have to condemn. And you ask, how am I going to do, Pastor? Somebody curses you, or somebody that does anything to you. Sometimes you do make a small mistake. You have to be very sure. Most of the time, people in the other car, that man inside is wild. You can see him. He's wild, and he will pass some curse against you. It's always best to say, Father, every word, everything that's spoken against me now, even by this woman or man, I bring it into the blood of Jesus, and I destroy those words in the name of Jesus. And I bless this man, Lord. Bless him. If he does not know you, help him to know you. Bless him, Lord. That's the way, brother. There is protection, but there is a legal side to it. Amen? There is always a legal side. Nothing is automatic. Just because Jesus was a substitute, nothing is automatic. Why is it then all the Christians are sick? Most of them are sick. Majority of the Christians are sick. Jesus was made sin, sickness for us, that we may be healed. Then what happened? We have got hold of only the sin problem. Oh, Jesus was made a sin, and I am the righteousness, that I am born again. Because we are scared of hell, so we got on hold of that. Oh, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. But all the other blessings are also the same. Amen. All right. Psalm 31:20. So we got to do that. Psalm 31:20. David prayed. He knew the power of words. He knew the cursing words. 31:20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret press of thy presence of the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. The strife of tongues is the cursings, the backbitings, the evil words people speak. And you may ask, a brother or sister may ask, what if I do not know somebody has given any cursings? You can pray a prayer well in the morning or night, but don't fail to pray. Father, if anything anybody has spoken against me, O Lord, any cursing word, anything, because I'm a Christian, because somebody doesn't like, because you are trying to get the souls from the other, you can say, Lord, I bring all these words into the blood of Jesus Christ, and I cancel, destroy these words in Jesus' name. It doesn't take you 15 seconds to say that. And how many of you regularly you pray morning and night, Father, I claim the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ upon myself and my family and my children, upon my car. One long vehicle came and just head-on collision drove into another car in New Zealand recently. Some people were traveling there. One lady was pregnant into the last. I mean, she never had conception for a long number of years. The first child, I suppose. And she conceived. She was about to deliver. And this long vehicle came head-on collision on the spot. And the driver gave excuse. You know what? I had some insect fell inside my eyes. And brother, if the husband forgets the wife, let the wife remember. Claim the protection of the blood. Claim it upon yourself, upon all the things, upon your children. The animals were slaughtered. The blood was shed morning and night. So we need to do that. It is given legally, but it's ours to possess. Legality is one thing. Reality is another thing. Experiential reality is a different thing. Then, of course, the occult involvement. Almost all the curses can be traced for this. But then, after getting saved, after getting delivered and all that, and we put ourselves into something, a satanic influence, or be careless and bring something home, we put ourselves into these things. We open the door for the enemy to come in. So, brothers and sisters, these things need to be dealt with in order to experience the blessings of God. Now, the process of getting delivered from these things is to recognize that there is something working on there, repent, renounce and resist. Recognize, repent, renounce or reject and resist it. Now, I want to give you some steps. First thing is to establish yourself with foundational scriptures like Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Meditate on them. Colossians 1, 12, you know, he had delivered us from the domain of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. We are delivered. Colossians 1, 12. And of course, 1 John 3, 8, the purpose the Son of God appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, 8. That's the first step. Foundational scriptures. And then confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter. You have to do it again. Confess it. Let it come out of your mouth. Lord, I believe in your shed blood. Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. That you came in the flesh. And you shed your blood to remove every sin, past, present and future. To deliver me from the hands of the devil. To wash my sins away with your blood. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ. Third step, commit yourself to obedience. Even if you miss it, I will give you the notes, so do not worry. I will, I promise. Confess any known sin. If you have a known sin, don't go for any prayer or any deliverance. Confess any known sins of yourself or your family. Even in your family, they are doing some witchcraft or anything like that. You have better confess that sin and get yourself off. And speaks words like, these things, none of these things shall follow me or my family. David, remember David? He canceled that curse of bloodshed which Joab did to him. He said, these things shall not touch my family or my kingdom. He knew, brother. Those Old Testament people, they knew the power of blessing. Yeah. Isaac said, no, I can't reverse it. I have given the blessing to your brother. He had come and taken it and gone. So much the power of the words of the Father. All right. Forgive all other persons. And sometimes yourself. You may have done something and then you said you are unable to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself. And forgive all others. Every known person. Forgiveness is not of the emotions. Forgiveness is of the will. Emotions may take a little time to get healed. Don't wait for that. You may find it a little difficult to smile in front of the person. Don't wait for that. Confess it. Say, Lord, I forgive. For you have forgiven me. I forgive, Lord. Heal my emotions, Lord. Are you all there? One girl, they were trying to get herself delivered from a demonic spirit and probably it's a curse actually, a Maori family. Maoris, they are all into all kinds of witchcraft over there in New Zealand. And this girl went, then the pastor suddenly, he got a word of knowledge and then she said, somebody whispered into his ears and they said, she had something wrong with the mother. She's a forgiven mother. And when the mother's name was mentioned, she just became furious. He had that unforgiveness. And finally, we were praying. Actually, we were praying to 5, 10, 15 minutes. Lord, give her grace. Please help her. Please help her to say those words. Say it. Mother, I forgive you. She said, no. That demon wouldn't let her. And finally, the Holy Spirit took control of her. And with weeping, she said, I forgive. Brothers, instantaneously, she got deliverance. The moment those words went, I forgive my mother. So forgive all other persons. Renounce all contact with occult. By yourself or with your family. Renounce them. Get rid of all contact objects. If you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there anything that I need to remove from my house, which is an abomination in your sight, show it to me, Lord. I do not know. And the Holy Spirit is so faithful. He will show it to you. Maybe in a dream. Maybe somebody will come and show you something. Oh yes. If your father or mother is a witch, if you have their photographs, you're going to be in trouble. Or your friend is a witch, or somebody is a witch, and you have some of their things or photographs, you're going to be in trouble. Because there is a legal door is open for the enemy to attack. I told you Satan is a legal expert. Get rid of all those contact objects. Release yourself in the name of Jesus. I want to quickly, for the sake of those people, those who are not here, those brother, yeah, can you put that? Never mind. I want to say this prayer. You repeat after me, purely for the sake of those people, those who are not here to listen to all these things. Probably all what they have got is this cassette. So you say after me, all right? Is it okay? All right. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God, and that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. I give up all my rebellion and all my sin, and I submit myself to you as my Lord. I confess all my sins before you and ask for your forgiveness, especially for any sins that exposed me to a curse. Release me also from the consequences of my ancestors' sins by a decision of my will. I forgive all who have harmed me or wronged me, just as I want God to forgive me. In particular, I forgive. All right, at this point, forgive all those people whose names come into your heart. All right, let us continue. I renounce all